Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, a weekly podcast that gives you an in-depth look at the South Alabama Jaguars. You can find a new podcast uploaded weekly online at usajaguars.com or take the podcast with you on your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Just search South Alabama Jaguars.
Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, the weekly podcast of the University of South Alabama Department of Athletics. I'm Brian Freeman, Associate Athletic Director for Strategic Communications. And our guest this week is new head football coach, Steve Campbell. Coach, appreciate your taking the time this morning.
Yeah, you're welcome, Brian. Glad to be here visiting with you.
So, you know, obviously we announced your hiring right after finals in December. You've had about 2 months that included a full-fledged recruiting period. Feel like you've settled in yet now that National Signing Day's passed? There's still lots of little adjustments both in the office and at home.
Yeah, you know, there's always an adjustment, but I really feel like we're starting to settle in. You know, it's great to – I was pleased with the recruiting class that we had, but now that recruiting is over, we've been able to get in here and get in the weight room with our guys, start the early morning workouts, do some film study and putting in an offense, defense, special teams with the guys that are here on campus. So anytime you – when you really start developing those relationships with the guys that are here, that's when you really feel like you're making a lot of progress. The recruiting's great, and you have to recruit, lifeblood of any program. But that puts you on the road for great periods of time. It's always great to get back with your guys, and this is always a fun time of year when you get to do football for football's sake in spring training. So we're getting settled in and look forward to having a really good spring.
It's funny because it's the next thing that I had on my list to ask you. I mean, for our listeners, describe the last 2 months.
Yeah.
How much time were you here in the office? How much time were you on the road?
Yeah.
Talk about where you traveled and all that goes into that.
Yeah, you know, during recruiting, it is you have to wear a lot of different hats because you don't want to. You could spend all of your time on the road. I mean, really, other than the weekend visits, we'll bring in, you know, players for official visits, they'll come in on Friday evening. So all of the coaches are off the road for Friday evening, all day Saturday, morning Sunday, and then boom, you're back out on the road to wherever it is that you're recruiting. But what we wanted to do in year one is to make sure that we're not neglecting the players that are here. You've got your own team that's already here. Before you go, you know, recruit new guys, you better take care of the ones that are already with you. So we stayed in the office on Monday and had what we called academic meetings with our players in the morning, went over class schedules, how, you know, academically, did you have any tests this past week, any papers due, what did you get back, what's coming up this week, how you doing in this class? What are you just trying to get to know our players? Because mm-hmm. you know, everybody's new, and I'm trying to form a relationship and get to know our guys both on the field and you know, and academically. And then in the weight room, we'd get in the weight room and in the workouts with the guys. So again, trying to get to know them in as many different facets as we possibly can. Then we hit the road recruiting Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday morning. And then again, the official visits, and then you start that cycle over again. You know, I've gone from Kansas City to Houston, Texas, to Florida, to, you know, all over the state of Alabama. Georgia was all in Florida, Mississippi, Louisiana. So it really covered a lot of ground, covered a lot of ground in the last couple of months.
With the way you do it, I mean, obviously you've got a number of assistants in 6, 7, 8 different spots. Your visits, are you visiting who you think are the key prospects, or how do you schedule it versus where they are already at recruiting?
Well, you got to be strategic with that. Now the FBS rules say that a Division I FBS head coach can only have one visit per prospect per year. That you can use that visit at the school. If you go visit the kid at the school, well, that's your visit. I mean, you can't go see him at the house 2 weeks later once you figure out that you want to offer the guy or whatever. So you got to, or you may have the kid committed. You go visit him a month early, and then four other schools jump on him, and you go, wow, I wish I would have saved that visit towards a. So you got to be very strategic with that visit. Now, if you know you're not going to recruit somebody from a school this year, well, then I need to go ahead and get by that school this year just to try to develop a relationship with that high school head coach, because he may have a guy next year. So that way you would get to get by there twice, once this year, once next year. So it is, Brian. That's a great question, and we go back and forth with that all the time. You better be very strategic with where the head coach goes on his off-campus visits.
Now that National Signing Day has passed, you know, the focus is now back on this team. But, you know, what's a typical day for you guys? What are you working on as you get ready to head into spring practice next month?
You know, now we've got we went into what we call phase two of our offseason workouts. Phase one was, again, a lot with the strength coach, because a lot of the full-time assistants and I was on the road. So now phase two, the assistants are off the road. We go to our early morning workouts, which 3 days a week, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, we'll have 6 a.m. workouts, which we call Tuesday and Thursday our Red Dawn, which is, I don't know, team building, mental toughness, agility, quickness, and learning how to fight through adversity. Then they'll come back. We have weights Monday, Tuesday, Thursday afternoon, which we're trying to pack on mass and get as strong as possible. And then Friday morning is it would be a sort of a cross training. It's a weight workout with a lot of footworks, agility, plyometric training. Anyway, so 3 days a week, we're 6 in the morning. 4 days a week, we're in the afternoon. So they're getting a lot of good workouts right now leading up to spring training. Coaching staff-wise, typically we'll staff meet at 8:30. If we have a 6 a.m. workout, give everybody a chance to go get a shower, all that before we staff meet. We'll work on X's and O's until lunch, which is putting in, you know, terminology, offensively, what are we going to call this? What are we going to – formation, unit, substitution, protection, route, tempo, what – you've got to come up with, there's a lot of things that you got to meet on defensively, same deal, special team, same deal. So we'll meet X's and O's till lunch. Then we take between one and workouts. Workouts probably, you know, start at 3 in the afternoon. Between 1 and 3, recruiting. Getting on our 19 and 20 guys. Getting the offers out there. Yeah. Writing handwritten letters to the recruits for next year. Following them on Twitter. Getting them to follow you back, direct messaging them. You know, I mean, all of that, inviting them to, we got junior day coming up. We've got camps coming up. So after lunch is recruiting focus until workouts. And then, you know, the ones that have families here typically go home, you know, 6, 7 o'clock. The ones without families here yet that haven't moved, then we go back and start watching film again or recruiting or whatever. So,
you know, spring practice starts on March 8th. What's your approach to spring practice? What do you want to see? What do you hope to accomplish in those 15 official days on the field?
Yeah, you know, the big thing is you want to get your base concepts in offensively and defensively. You want the guys to know how to line up, to know what their assignment is, and then to get them to play hard and to execute that assignment, you know, to the fullest of their ability. To, you know, big things we want to work on, Brian, or be unselfish. I know that that sounds, well, that's coach speak, that's whatever, but it's really not. We've got to play together as a football team and learn that adversity is going to hit, and to expect it and to welcome it. And when we see it coming, go, good, this is what we've trained for. So try to create some adverse situations and overcome them. And then other than that, you know, base offense, base defense. Figure out what can we do. You know, Brian, I run everything from the triple option to the shotgun spread, throw it every snap. What does our talent lend itself towards? You know, get an idea on that and then start gearing it. I would love to get the fundamentals in and then kind of get a good idea of what we're good at. And then maybe the last half of spring, last handful of days anyway, start gearing it towards what we're really good at so that going into summer, we can really have a great idea of what kind of, you know, do we need to be a team that is heavy run, play action, take shots down the field, or are we a ball control, tempo, you know, what are we? And a lot of that, we can go either direction, but a lot of it depends on the personnel that we have, what we're good at defensively. You know, I know we're a base, squeeze and scrape, fundamental football team. Now, do we have guys that can blitz off the edge and make a play and play man coverage on the back end, or do we need to cover up a little more? Maybe we don't have to send as much and we can be more of a zone. You know, we got to get out there and figure that kind of stuff out to see which direction we need to lean heavier on.
Now, you know, spring practices are, you know, not people don't come and watch those. They will see the spring game, which is on Saturday, right, April 14th. But, you know, what do you tell fans, supporters, boosters when you're out in the community? What would you say they should expect to see next fall when you take the field against Louisiana Tech and then throughout the rest of your first season?
You know, what we would like to – the football team that we would like to be is a physical football team that – is going to play extremely hard and leave it all out on the line. You know, tempo on offense, play at a, you know, a high tempo. Now, again, it depends on, you know, we'll play to our strengths. You know, what I can tell you is we're going to be a team that don't turn the football over, a team that doesn't commit a lot of mistakes and beats itself. And that's, you know, that in a team that plays extremely hard, you know. But as far as, you know, how many times we're going to run it, how pass it, how many points I'm not going to make. We'll be a team that we don't want to beat ourselves, and we're going to play extremely hard, and then we'll build from there.
You know, for those who haven't really had a chance to get to know you yet, how do you describe your overall program philosophy?
Yeah. You know, I would say overall program philosophy, again, goes back. We'd like to be physical. We'd like to be tough. I think football still at its core turns into a tough man competition, and that's what we want to turn it into. I think people try to get away from that and try to make it a finesse game. Well, football at its core, we need to turn it into who's the toughest. And you got to have skill to be able to do that, and there's a lot of different ways to do that. That don't mean pounding it out every play. That means being able to take advantage of what your ability is. Now, again, we'd like to be a team that doesn't beat itself, that doesn't turn the football over, doesn't commit any selfish penalties. We'll commit penalties because we're going to play on the edge. I mean, we're going to be a team that's going to be on the edge, but we don't want to. We don't want to commit selfish penalties. There may be a late hit. I don't want there to be a late hit, and it won't be a selfish late hit, not more than once anyway. You know, I mean, that will be a – but we're going – I would like to be a team that is on the edge and pushing the envelope of playing hard. And that, because at its core, that's what it gets down to. Everybody runs good plays. I don't care what, if you run the triple option, you run the air raid, you know, a lot of good plays. The team that doesn't turn the football over, plays well in the kicking game, and wins the battle of explosive plays is going to be the team that is most successful. And that's what we, you know, and you got to be tough, mentally tough, to not turn the football over and to win the explosive plays. So that's our deal. Turnovers, kicking game, explosive plays.
What excites you most about this program and this university?
Yeah, just, you know, there's the university and the program, to me, sell themselves. I mean, they're one and the same. I mean, when you talk about where would you want to go and coach or play college football, you'd say in the state of Alabama. What college? Well, I would want to do it at a college that had a medical school. Check. I'd like to do it at a college that had engineering. Check. I'd like to do it at a place that's by the beach. Check. I mean, what more could that excites me tremendously about the University of South Alabama. I mean, who else in the nation can offer the total package? When you go recruit a student athlete, you're playing at the highest level of Division I college football, and with all that the city of Mobile and the University of South Alabama has to offer, you know, the opportunity is second to none. So that's very exciting.
It's only been a couple of months, but as you kind of get the lay of the land and get settled in here, what do you see as like the biggest obstacle that you think you might have to overcome to get to your goals and dreams?
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing that we've got to do, Brian, is some of the things that we've talked about, getting everybody to and I love the way the kids have responded, pulling for each other, laying it all out there on the line. We've got to develop some depth so that when we do have an injury, it's next man up. We don't miss a beat. That we keep moving forward because we have developed the depth to be able to, that it's not a big deal when a guy sprains an ankle, that we have a guy behind him ready to step up and ready to go. I've not been out there practicing with him yet.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I do know, like last year, I think we were maybe down to one healthy back. We got to get our numbers, our quality depth numbers, to such a point to where an injury or two is not devastating.
I want to go back now. I mean, we've talked South Alabama football, but this is all you've done, been a football coach. When did you know you wanted to coach? And once you figured that out, was there anything you did to prepare to get into the field?
Yeah, you know, I've pretty much known my whole life. I mean, I knew I wanted to do something in football. You know, as a kid, you think you're going to play forever. Everybody's going to be the next Roger Staubach or whoever it may be. And I thought I was – but once I got, I don't know, I knew I was, again, through high school, I said, well, I'll play forever. And then about college, you figure out that you're not an NFL player, you're a fine college player and love the game. That doesn't decrease your love for the game one iota. It was sometime in college, I said, well, that's what I want to do is coach because I'm going to stay involved in football. And then I tell you what, my business degree and the master's in business, I use it every day. I mean, you could not, and I didn't. I never took sports management, so I don't know. I don't know if they had those majors back then. But I could not have imagined a better major to be a football coach than economics and business administration. I mean, all it is, I mean, that's everything that I've done throughout my career in football, from marketing and now, you know, with the Twitter and the camps and all that's marketing. Through management, putting together a staff, all of that stuff, all of those motivational theories that they go over in management class, to economics, the production possibilities, you know, whatever you're giving up here, you're gaining here, and there's a, you know, cost benefit. Well, if we work on passing game, then you're giving up running game. How are you going to allocate resources? So everything all of that stuff, I think, really, really prepared you for, you know. And as a teenager, we worked out in a hay field, throwing hay, getting the hay onto the trailer, and then getting it from the trailer to the barn. Really, the job wasn't done until you got it into the barn. You get it up on the trailer and all that, but if it rained, you can't put up wet hay. And it was just the same as, you know, a good drive. I mean, all that stuff to me ties together. I mean, you may have a great play, gain of 18. Well, good, but you still have to, you got to score, you got to find a way to, and you still got to get that hay in the barn. Yeah. So all of those things, I don't know, whenever you're a football coach, or at least in my mind anyway, everything ties back to how does it relate to football.
So you started as a graduate assistant at Auburn, assistant job, Delta State, Nichols State, Southwest Mississippi, and after 1 year there, you got promoted to head coach. So you're approximately 30.
Yeah.
You're a head coach at the junior college level. Were those your expectations when that, like, you were going to be a head coach that quickly? Or did it just work itself out that way?
It worked itself. I never had never had one of those. I was not a master plan guy. And still, when I've been a master plan guy, that's when I've messed up. You know, the to me, it was always, and I always wanted to be a head coach at an early age, all that, but I never had written down, I will do this by the age of 30 and do that. You know, I'm not that smart to be able to plan all that stuff out. I just went to work every day and tried to do the best I could wherever I was at. And good Lord's definitely been good to me and blessed me in a lot of situations. And I've been presented with a lot of great opportunities working for some great people. So, no, that was no. It was definitely a guy named Joe Wickline, who is now he was the OC at Texas, the OC at Oklahoma State, a lot of different places. Joe and I went to Southwest together. Joe is now at West Virginia. He was the head coach. I was Joe's offensive coordinator. Well, Joe left after 1 year and went to Baylor, and I moved up to head coach, hired a guy named Kenny Edenfield, who is now our OC. Then we had a guy named Dom Green. Dom's with the New York Jets. So that was at Southwest Mississippi Junior College, where Jerry Clower went to school. So those were some good days.
As you look back on it now, what was the biggest difference? What was the key thing you had to adjust to make the jump from assistant to head coach?
You know, just I had probably been preparing for it. You know, like a lot of people, they take notes, and you'll say, I'll watch these little specials on guys, and they've taken notes from everybody and kept books, and I've done all that, but I'm not specifically with the idea in mind of I'm going to write all this stuff down for when I get to be a head coach. It was just I'm going to keep it to study it and have it. The transition to being a head coach, I don't think it's kind of like being a parent or being a whatever. If you wait until you think you're ready, I don't know that you'll ever be ready. Yeah. It's one of them, but being a head coach, to me, was that way. You know, at age 30, boom, you're the head coach. Okay. And then you start swimming like heck, trying to keep your, you know, that's what it is. It is you're learning every day. Now, 21 years later, you can pull on all of that experience. I do think it helps having years of head coaching experience, because now you've dealt with a lot of different things as a head coach. A lot of different scenarios and situations have come across your desk that if you wait until you're prepared for, you'll never be prepared for it. It's just, but now you've seen a lot of them.
So 2 years as the head coach, Southwest Mississippi Junior College, 12-8. Head coach at Delta State, 3 years, and you win the national championship in 2000. But then, 2 years after you won the national championship as a head coach, you went to Middle Tennessee back as an assistant.
Yeah.
What was kind of the thought process of
going?
Because some people would just say, "Well, why'd you step back?"
I know. Well, Brian, that is, you asked earlier about, did you have a plan where you're okay? Well, here's one of those situations where instead of, you know, we had won a national championship at Delta State. And then I thought, I don't know, I probably got a little ahead of myself. And, you know, I thought that was wanting at that point in time, wanting to move to be a head coach at the Division I level. And I started getting on my plan and not maybe the plan that God had for me. And so, boom, I'm going to jump in Middle Tennessee, Division I. They offensive coordinator job. They played, we opened up with Alabama, played Tennessee, Kentucky, Vandy. Well, if we go there, scored the guy who was the OC was Larry Fedora, mm-hmm. who and Wickline, who I had just talked about at Southwest. He and Joe had just left Middle and gone to Florida as Ron Zook's coordinators. So, boom, I'm going to go get on the fast track at Middle. So I took the OC job at Middle Tennessee, not a great year. Then the opportunity, and after a year, I go, boy, I shouldn't have, just like you look at it now and go, well, why did he do this?
Yeah.
Well, now I look at it and go, but back then, the OC and the O-line had just left and gone to Florida, and now, you know, they both parlayed that into something really well. What I learned at that point in time, Brian, is don't never take a position to try to, you know, because it will propel you. Nope, just do the best you can where you're at. Grind every day, because for me, whenever I've done that, things have worked out really, really well. Whenever I've left Middle Tennessee, that was there for a year, then go Mississippi State for a year, enjoyed that experience. We weren't very good, but it was a great experience, and then that led me to Gulf Coast.
Visiting this week on Inside Jag Nation with new head football coach Steve Campbell. Mississippi Gulf Coast, you were there 2004-13, an extended stretch. In the middle of it, you're an hour and a half from here, yeah, or so.
Yeah.
And in the middle of that stretch comes the announcement, hey, South Alabama is going to start a football program. Remember what you thought at the time when you heard that news and you were over there at Mississippi Gulf Coast?
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, I thought it was, it had been talked about for years, and then they started football. I said, wow, that place is really going to take off. All of the resources are there, you know, it's in the middle of right where you would want to, if you could put a school, where would you want to put it? Hey, let's start football somewhere. You started on I-10 between Alabama, Mississippi, and Florida. New Orleans, 2 hours down the road. That is about right in the middle of anywhere you'd want to be football-wise to get players. I said that is going to be a great opportunity for somebody. And Joey did a great job with it and had a great run here. And then, you know, as you know, the way things worked out, we were very, very blessed to be here and very excited. I do remember back then, I said, wow, great opportunity for a lot of kids along the coast and a lot of coaches along the coast.
Did you ever think in that early stage, as you're in the middle of, and I mean, you won the national championship 2007, that announcement comes 2008, did you ever think to yourself, I could end up there?
I don't know, maybe in there, but I never gave myself time to really think about it. You know, I always knew that would be, there weren't many places I would have left Gulf Coast for. Now, South Alabama, shoot. Yes, I always said that would be a place that I would always love to go. If anything, anywhere could pull me out of Gulf Coast, it would be, you know, the opportunity to go to South Alabama. Now, you know, and I pulled for Joey, and we sent him a lot of players over the years. The Helms boys were great players here. Charles Watson, and Jonathan Cameron, and Tyrone. We sent him Tyrone Williams, sent him a lot of good players. So really, you know, had a pretty good little familiarity with the program over the years.
So over the course of time over there, you ended up putting together 87-22 record, and the school that finally pulled you away turned out to be Central Arkansas.
Yeah.
And so that was in 2000, you know, that's after the 2013 season. Before that call came and you answered it, did you have other Division I opportunities that just weren't appealing, or were you just motoring along?
No, I had there for 10 years. We had about, I had in my mind, said we're done moving. Like you said, we'd already been from Delta State to Middle to Mississippi State. We got back to Gulf Coast. I was home again. You know, I was 2 hours from Pensacola and an hour and something from Mobile. And Shelley and I both have family in Mobile and in Baldwin County, all through there. So we were as home as could be. And then we had opportunities during that run after we, you know, University of West Georgia, a great Division II school, had an opportunity to go there. And then a couple of Division I opportunities, was offered jobs at more than one school in the Southland Conference. And I had multiple other, you know, Power Five coordinator position. I said, you know what? That's great. Why would I do that to try to get to somewhere else? You know, to try. And I said, that's not what I'm, you know, let's do the best we can where we're at and be content with, be very pleased and content with where you're at. And then both my oldest two graduated, got out of high school, which that was big. I was not going to move them again. We had moved the two oldest ones seven times in ever how many years. And that's, they deserved a chance to make it all the way through. And they made it all the way through Stone Middle School, Stone High School, and Gulf Coast Community College. The daughter wound up being Miss Perk, which was tremendous. The son made academic All-American. So now I felt better.
Yeah.
I said, well, I gave them a chance to have a – now, then the Central Arkansas opportunity came open. The kids were out, and I said, you know what? We've got the little one now. She was seven at the time. We said this would be a great opportunity for us, and we took that and went there.
What was it about Central Arkansas that drew you? Because like you said, I mean, and we haven't even talked about all of it, but your history – is in the Gulf Coast, and Central Arkansas is a good 7-8 hours away. So what was it that compelled you to answer that call?
Well, when I was at Delta State, we used to play Central Arkansas. They were in the Gulf South Conference. And to me, it was the nicest, and I don't want to, it was a very nice city.
Yeah.
It was a very nice city. Loved the city of Conway. But a big deal, you know, the athletic director was a guy named Brad Teague, Brad's an old Delta State guy, and I had a relationship with Brad. Everybody that has ever worked with Brad has talked about what a great person, what a great leader, what a great athletic director, and how supportive he is. So I just thought it was a tremendous opportunity to go work with an athletic director that is a great guy and in a great city. And again, we worked, you know, at that point in time, the kids were grown, the two oldest ones, and it was we really thought it was a great opportunity for us.
So you were born in Pensacola, raised in Cantonment. How old were you when you started playing football, and you remember why you started playing?
You know, really, I played 1 year of, I think when I was eight. And back then they had weight limits. You know, you had to be on the midgets. We had the mites, the midgets, the mini mites, the juniors, whatever. And you had to, anyway, I was always playing with guys 2 and 3 years older than me. I was a big kid. I was always playing with guys 2 and 3 years older than me. When I was eight, I played with my brother, who was 10 and 11. So I was on there, you know, and I don't care how big you are. I mean, you're playing against older kids. So anyway, I think when I was nine, I would have had to play with the 13 and 14-year-olds. And I told my dad, well, look, I'm going to lose this, you know, get. He said, no, you're not. You need to stay where you're at and just wait because you don't need to. And I learned of that. Anyway, so I didn't play again until high school. Now, I loved it. My brothers were playing, so I was at the ballpark every day. I went to Cantonment Ballpark, Booth Field, and watched every game, you know, and all of my buddies were. And I think that probably, yeah, I wanted to play so bad, but couldn't because I would have had to play with the two age groups higher than me. So that I think that may have stoked my hunger and fire to play, and then didn't get to, we didn't have junior high football there. They didn't have, you know, they didn't have middle school football. So you couldn't play school football until ninth grade. So it's really started playing in ninth grade. So now when I hear people say, you better start playing when you're six or eight, or no. I mean, no, I'm not against it, but I'm a guy that I started in ninth grade playing real organized. Now, we played in the yard and played more backyard football than probably anybody. Anyway, you know, that neighborhood did.
Well, at what point, once you got into high school and organized football, was there a point where you said to yourself, I can do this in college? Did you know right away? Did you have to?
No, I knew when I was nine or eight that I was going to, you know, I was going to play in college. Now, I didn't know if I would be good enough or what, but I was going to play in college. I mean, that was, you know, there was never a plan B.
So you end up Southeastern Louisiana for a couple of years. Program is discontinued. That's how you end up at Troy, where you play your last 2 years of eligibility, win a national championship there too. But really, you know, my bigger question about Troy is that, like, when you were there playing with your teammates,
yes,
did you realize at that point that some of those guys in that locker room on that field with you were going to be on your staff down the road? Because you've got both your coordinators were college teammates. You had already mentioned Coach Edenfield on offense and Coach Stewart on defense was a teammate as well. Did you know it at the time?
You know, it would. To be able to say it exactly like that, no, but I did know that. I knew that Kenny wanted to be a coach, and I knew if he did, he'd be a great. I knew that Stacks, Coach Stewart, wanted to be a coach, and knew that if he did, he'd be a great one. Our quarterback, Mike Turk, head coach at Huntington College, has been, and tremendous job there. A guy named Bob Godsey, he's a head coach at Hartsel. Bob was our backup quarterback there, and has won. Bob's won a ton of games at Hartsel. Our guy named Tommy Wasden was a quarterback. Tommy was the headmaster and head coach at Mobile Christian. Just took the OC. He was my roommate there for a year. The D coordinator at UMS Wright was my roommate, Jay Colzio. They just won a state championship. You know, the thing I found about championship teams is you've got, you know, the Delta State, same way. Gulf Coast, same way. You've got coaches that are players because you've got a bunch of guys that love the game and want to stay around it. So I knew that Stacks was going to be a great coach and knew that Kenny was going to be a great coach. And we have talked over the years about, wouldn't it be great if we could all get together, but so rarely does it actually have a chance to work out, and so we're all very excited to have the group together. We've been together at certain times over the years, and but to get those two back together on each side of the ball is something I'm very excited about.
Our guest this week on Inside Jag Nation is new Jaguar head football coach Steve Campbell. Now, you got a busy schedule, but just here to wrap up, going to ask you some questions and about yourself off the field and interests, and really just looking the first thing that pops in your mind. And I always start with with all your responsibilities, there's very little free time. So when you have it, what's your favorite thing to do?
You know, and spend time with my family, whatever. Go just make, I've got 12-year-old daughter, Tate, and my wife, Shelly. Just making sure that I'm any free time. I'm not a big golfer. I'm not a, if I did anything, it would be fish. And when I say if I fish, maybe once a year. So that would be my, it would be spend time with them and whatever activity. She's a dancer, so spend time with her, watching her at a dance competition or whatever.
Your favorite sport outside of football?
I would say probably I love baseball and basketball. Probably those two. I enjoy all the summer Olympic sports. Anything competitive, I like watching.
What's the best athletic event you've attended as a fan?
I don't know, the national championship games, NCAA, national championship games. I've been to a lot of big, saw Hank Aaron play as a kid. That was that's a memorable deal. There at Fulton County Stadium in Atlanta.
If there's one athletic event you've never been to that you want to see in person, what's at the top of your bucket list?
I don't know. I would love to go to a World Series game. That would be fun.
Where's the best place you've ever been on vacation?
I would say Fort Morgan.
Very far.
Exactly. That's what I'm doing. And I've been to a lot of different places, but about halfway down Fort Morgan Road is about as good as it gets. That's right.
If you've got one place that you want to go on vacation you've never been, what's the first place you're going to?
I don't know. I've always wanted to check out maybe Scotland. You know, the Highlands of Scotland. That looks like an interesting deal.
Favorite movie?
Favorite movie would be any Rocky movie, Gladiator. I like those Armageddon, Bruce Willis. A lot of good movies. Cool Hand Luke, all time great. I like. There's a couple of good movies.
Favorite book?
I'd have to say the Bible. And it's been the book that over the years, of course, it is the book that starts them all. So,
favorite musical artist?
Favorite musical artist? I would have to say probably, I'm a big Elvis guy. Journey sticks, any of the 80s stuff is good.
And then when a Hollywood producer picks up a script on this remarkable rise of a guy from Cantonment, Florida, yeah, to successful head football coach.
Yeah.
And he decides he's going to make that movie. What actor is he going to hire to play the lead role of Steve Campbell?
Yeah, that would be. I would definitely have to leave that to them. So, who knows? I would hate to say. Yeah.
Our guest this week on Inside Jag Nation, head football coach Steve Campbell. Coach, we appreciate the time. Look forward to seeing you get out there in the spring.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
Inside Jag Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Any rebroadcast or distribution of this podcast without the express written consent of South Alabama Athletics is strictly prohibited. Remember, you can find a new episode of Inside Jag Nation every week on USAJaguars.com or have them automatically uploaded to your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Keep up to date with the Jags by following us on Twitter with @USAJaguarSports and @JagNationUSA. Thanks for listening, and go Jags! Yeah!